storms of life.
They're happy in Cincinnati as the Reds clinched the NL Central. Do you know it's been 15 years? We're going to talk about it in sports shorts. Probably threw some of you for a loop there. There's a big battle for Congress. We know all about that. Midterm elections. Tick, 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 tick. November 2nd will be here before you know it. Who's out? Who's in? We've been talking about that actually all week. Are there races that are tightening, and there's some that have been that way all along, but there's some that are starting to get a little bit closer. The one that everybody's talking about is what's going to happen in Delaware with Christine O'Donnell. Coming up on this show, because there was that dabbling in witchcraft remark, we thought it'd be fun to have T.L. Steins on, since I got to tell you, I don't know crap about witchcraft. I don't know about all of you. So we're going to be enlightened, I'm not kidding, and find out more about witchcraft, and what does that mean when someone says that they're a witch, for example? Also, we're going to talk to a lawyer who really goes after some of the dirtiest cops you can imagine. Police brutality. No good, clean cops like it either. And there's been a bad problem in a lot of cities. Denver is where he specializes, so we're going to talk to him about what's going on, what's the undercurrent as far as the issue of police brutality. That's just a few things on the menu for this hour here on America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. Happy as always to be swinging for the fences with all of you. Remember, if you're left of left, right of right, somewhere in between, or just darn confused, that's all good. I don't care what your stripes are. You can jingle these numbers and be a part of the show. 1-800-259-5791. Again, 800, because the one's a given, right? 259-5791. That's like almost like a faux pas when you say 1 in front of 800. Kind of like when somebody gives you a web address and they say, oh, well, what's that website? And the person starts off www. dot blah, blah, blah. It's just a given, right, that it's the W's in front of it. I think I made my point. All right, let's jump head first into the deep end and talk about this new Gallup poll. You know how I'm hot on polls. Well, the latest one, says that the voters are pretty split between the Dems and the Republicans. Gee, you think? Registered voters, we're talking about, are split over whether they're going to vote for a Republican or a Democrat in the congressional elections. Now, the two parties are tied dead even, a dead heat at 46%. That's certainly something to cheer about for the Republicans, because let's face it, the Democrats have the advantage when it comes to the incumbency. They should be a little bit worried if they're hoping to retain control over all of Congress. Imagine this, you have Barack Obama serving out his term and you have a Republican controlled House and Senate, both chambers. That's called the big block, and that's exactly what'll happen, and that's not lost on the Dems. Meanwhile, the president's approval rating, I said this in our last show, has slipped to 44%. So what does that mean? Certainly history shows that presidents who have below 50% approval ratings just before the midterm elections generally see that their parties suffer some massive losses in the congressional seats. That's usually what happens. Doesn't mean it's going to happen this time, but we feel the anger and we see and sense that a lot of people are unhappy with whoever it is who's representing them in Congress. Will there be big changes? You know, if I had a crystal ball and I could flat out answer that question, you would not be listening to me on America Tonight, because I'd probably be selling the info somewhere. Hopefully not Vegas, but somewhere, kind of like the Madam Cleo thing, only a little more classed up, let's say. Nobody knows. Nobody knows for sure. That's why the polls are so intriguing, and the conversations that you're having with your friends, whoever you are, listening to me right now. I don't care if you're out there on the back nine and it comes up. I don't care if you're on the job and you're in your cubicle and you're leaning across to the guy behind you and it comes up. It comes up. I mean, it is coming up in all kinds of conversations like I have never, ever seen before in my life. People who would never talk about politics are talking about politics. You know, the old saying, don't talk about politics or religion. I mean, it's a real crowd killer. It's kind of like the Red Sea. That's where you know where people stand. You drop a bomb. You make a hardcore statement at some party. People that you're familiar with, but then the friends of the friends you're not as familiar with, and they look at you like a deer in the headlights. Whoops. Then you know you went in the wrong direction, or you might have offended somebody, and you really weren't trying to offend anyone. Now, flat out, nobody cares. Nobody cares. In the grocery lines, going to pick up pizza, hanging out at the kids' game somewhere, a football game on Friday night, you hear this conversation. It is. It's the constant buzz in the background. That tells me, and I'd be really disappointed if I'm wrong on this. I will make a prediction. I think we're going to see some of the biggest numbers we've ever seen as far as voters are concerned, unless we have a lot of people who are whining and unhappy as to what's going on in Washington, but yet they still won't get off their couch and go and vote. I mean, I hate to sound like I'm beating another dead horse because we don't like the horses running around the studio too much, but shame on you if you don't go out and vote and you're complaining. You got to vote. If more people voted, perhaps you'd be happy with the results and you'd get better people in office, knowing that just because they're the incumbent, it doesn't mean that it's a shoo-in for them to get reelected. And I'm so tired of the inaction. I know that there's only so much one politician can do, but there are things that can be changed. Policies that seem like layups to me that should already be in place. The example of having to read the bills, you know, giving time to read the legislation, especially the bigger chunks of legislation that are being voted into law. I still don't believe that very many people on the Hill really read everything in the health care reform law. I don't believe that. Because it was too many pages. They couldn't possibly get through it. It was like double War and Peace. Double. There's just absolutely no way. All right, on another note here, whenever we hear the word terror, we're thinking, we're clutching our chest and thinking, oh, where? And luckily for us, it's not luck, but usually we're not talking about the United States. So this out of London. The intelligence folks there are saying they've intercepted a credible terror plot against the British and French, raising security fears at the Eiffel Tower. That's so sad. But failing to raise the overall threat level for whatever that's worth. So briefly, the tower was evacuated on Tuesday evening because they got a bomb threat that was called in from a telephone booth somewhere. It's the second time they've had an alert in the last 2 weeks. So is this for real? Is someone trying to blow up the Eiffel Tower or just shake people up? You be the judge. And you really can be the judge in this one. We're talking about the law and police brutality coming up next here on ATN.
Less is more. I want you to think of Life Change Tea as, well, a 2008 Ferrari 612. The Ferrari 612 is a two-door, four-passenger luxury car that gives an exploding 540 horsepower through its 6-liter V12. It has a top speed of 199 miles per hour and can accelerate 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. Life Change Tea will accelerate your life into feeling more energy, losing weight, and cleansing toxins out of your body so you'll live longer. And guess what? You can accelerate your life without a Ferrari 612 sticker price of $318,000. $1,000. You can buy green tea for less, but unfortunately, it's just another daily driver with no performance. So for just about a dollar a day, you can drive the Ferrari of teas. Don't be fooled by size. Check our website out at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Remember Life Change Tea.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you are hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. You have medical insurance? Is your home insured? You carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
You might have caught this story. It made big national headlines when three Denver police officers were fired after they were caught on tape beating a man talking on his cell phone. And boy, there have been a lot of crazy police brutality incidents across this great country, not just in Denver. We've seen them in California. We've talked about them on the air. And I say this all the time. I've got a brother-in-law who's a cop, and he says, boy, let me see one of them, and I'll take care of it. And I understand, because he hates to hear the stories, and he hates to see it. What about the guy, the good guy, who is trying to get justice for the people who are on the end of that police brutality? From Denver, a criminal attorney who is really done his job well after I flushed out some things on him. Kevin Flesch has handled maybe 30 police brutality cases in the past decade, and it's a pleasure to have him here on the show tonight. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the first. I'm going to wind the clock back a little bit. I said that it's about 30 cases in the past decade. What was the first case you handled? Do you remember it? And what was it like when you got the judgment you wanted?
I do remember. There was actually a case where I was representing a fellow that was drunk on our 16th Street Mall, which is in downtown Denver. Police picked him up on a simple warrant that he had for, I think, a shoplifting ticket or something like that, and took him back to the jail, put him up on a bunk, and he fell out of the bunk and broke his hip. The police then put him in an ambulance and let him go back to the hospital, and then let him go from the jail and tried to say that they weren't responsible for his injuries. That was one of the first cases that I had that really I came to believe that although the police generally are pretty good folks, that there are still a few out there, just like the rest of the population, that don't do the right thing sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. And so you've gotten a reputation for this, for being able to get in there and develop these cases. In fact, I think most of your cases don't even go to trial, am I right?
That's true.
But which is a good thing. That means you're getting settlements, I'm assuming, and whatnot. And I'm sure for the clients, that's also good as well. I mean, your record, don't you have like a winning percentage record of something like 80% or more?
That's true. You know, you always end up having to file suit generally in these sorts of cases, but you go through the discovery process. You prepare the cases if you're going to trial, and you generally can get them resolved after you prove to the police and the state authorities that what's gone on has not been right and that a jury is going to find in your favor. So they generally will work something out with you.
Yeah. I know there's a case that you were representing a client, and you can't talk too much about it, but in Colorado Springs, who was tasered. This also made national headlines about a dozen times because he wouldn't let the police take his three-year-old grandson back to his father, who, by the way, is sexually abusive. Boy, this one just gets you in the gut. The case was settled, right? But there's a gag order, so you can't talk about too many specifics, but that had to be a rough one for you.
It was. You know, I had a really good client in that situation that was doing the right thing. The police made a value judgment about his judgment, and basically they didn't think that he was telling them the truth, and they thought they knew what the law was, and in the end we explained to them, and they had to pay a judgment relating to the fact that they were wrong on that day, and they eventually paid for that.
When you go into these cases, what sort of things, Kevin, are you looking for? What are you looking for when someone comes to you and they say, well, I've been a victim, or there's a videotape, or you hear about a story of possible police brutality? What are the first things that you look at when you try to decide on taking it or not?
Well, a lot of times these cases are tough because generally the victim of the assault by the police officers, you've got to determine their credibility and whether or not you can prove the case beyond their testimony. You know, most jurors are going to want to believe police, and when police lie, it doesn't make it very easy for you to prove your case. So you need other elements of proof. You know, with the new devices today that have the ability to take pictures and sound and all the things that they can do, that has really helped our prosecution of police brutality cases, because most of the time you can't really argue with a video of a police officer beating someone up when they didn't have cause to do so.
Yeah, I would think the police knowing with the video hookups they have, I wonder what's going, and this is a tough question to answer, but what is going through their mind when they're beating someone, because it's all caught on tape? Are they just somehow just not thinking about it? How do you not think about that?
I think part of it is generally these officers that get into the situation have done it before. There's a pattern generally of these officers doing these things to people where it wasn't videotaped. So I think to some degree their ego sort of gets in play, and they think they're above it to some degree and that they'll be able to talk their way out of it, that the fellow officers won't speak up against them, or that the person that they're beating isn't very credible, so that they'll be able to talk their way out of it.
Yeah. The victims of these things, what's it like for them to go through the process? I mean, to be honest, I just think, what if this happened to me? I would be, of course, freaked out by the situation, and then maybe concerned even to try to press charges, to claim police brutality. Do you find that sometimes the victims are worried about blowback?
Yes, they're always worried about it. You know, they've got the initial victimization of the actual assault. The things, you know, we get calls all the time, probably a couple of weeks at least, where people tell me about what took place. And the difficulty is I still have to explain to the victim of these things that we've got to prove what happened, and we have to have a credible, you know, we have to have credibility when we get in front of a jury. And so, you know, a lot of times if it's a situation where we just don't have that proof, it makes it very difficult to prosecute the cases, because the deck is really stacked against a victim of these sorts of assaults because of the many state statutes relating to the liabilities of these officers. And so you've got to have a good case that has outside evidence so that you can prove the case, not just a mere allegation. I get a lot of folks in my office that I have a gut reaction that they're telling you the truth. The issue is whether I can prove it.
Well, yeah, of course, it's that whole evidence chain. I'm curious, because you're the go-to man in Denver. How are the Denver police with you, as they see you as the guy who knows how to get these cases done and go after the riffraff in the department, I'll call them?
you know, we do have a pretty good track record of going after different departments within the Denver metro area. The Denver police in general, you know, they've been taking a lot of heat recently. There's a ton of cases relating to brutality, relating to the Denver Police Department. I generally have a pretty good working relationship with the department, but at the same time, they know that I'm out there advocating for victims of their assaults. And so when I get on a case, they know that I'm in business. I'm not going to be, I'm going to be diligent in my efforts. We do a good job in protecting our clients and getting the money or whatever they're asking for in the way of a result. But at the same time, the officers know when they've done something wrong, they're going to have to pay for it.
When you went to law school and you decided to hang out your shingle, did you think this is what you were going to end up doing?
You know, I knew I enjoyed the interesting thing is our practices, we do a lot of criminal defense work and a lot of personal injury work. And so the police brutality cases sort of meld the two together. It's just an interesting fit that we've sort of gotten ourselves into. I didn't really plan on being in this situation because they're not the easiest cases to prosecute, but they certainly are rewarding at the end when you can look at your client and say, hey, you know, we've gotten you the result that you wanted and we finally made some justice for you.
Yeah, you were talking about Denver. Do you think, I was mentioning that we have listeners across the country. Do you think that for some reason brutality, police brutality is on the rise, or is it because of the advent of so many of the videotaping and whatnot, we're able to see it more?
You know, we were talking about that in the office recently. I think it's more of the aspect of the fact that the brutality is sort of out there and now being able to be proven that you're seeing more of it. I think there's always been a percentage of officers that are just not good officers that should be off the street. And so those are the ones that cause a lot of times these brutality cases to occur. I think the level of or the ability to prove the cases has certainly been sort of brought out in the forefront with the technology now.
Yeah, that's the good news. Kevin Flesch, thanks so much for being with us here on America Tonight, shining a light on a problem and one that you're able to knock down in Denver. Take care, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the line.
All right, thank you very much.
And how about that, handling those kinds of cases? You heard what he had to say about there's something to that. What about the inexperience on the job? As you know, with the budget cutting and also then searching for more police officers, where are they pulling the police officers from, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, there's like I said, there's a lot of good guys who are cops, and it's hard for them because they certainly hate to see that happen. But maybe this is an instance in some cases where technology actually helps. Hang with us. More to come here on America Tonight.
Attention gun owners. You're into guns and many people you know are into guns. Well, someone needs to maintain, clean, and repair those guns, and it could be you. Now get a free how-to gunsmith DVD sampler from AGI, the American Gunsmithing Institute. Learn the art of professional gunsmithing as a part or full-time career. Develop a lucrative business by learning the art of gunsmithing through over 71 exclusive DVD training courses. Get started today by ordering our free DVD sampler video and catalog at AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. See how to quickly learn firearm disassembly, reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. To order your free DVD sampler and catalog, call 800-367-9792 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Ask about a bonus $10 savings coupon when you call 800-367-9792 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Go to hempusa.org, go to hempusa.org, and ask your legislator, and ask your congressman, and ask your president, why can't we grow it here? And ask those companies that love their profits and disease, why can't we grow it here? Try our powder seeds and oil, try our 5-pound sampler, and get free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org, go to hempusa.org, and call us at 908-691-2608. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. Why Ali C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali C today.
It was a couple of weeks ago when Christine O'Donnell, who is a candidate for Senate in Delaware, a Tea Party person, got a lot of flack after a clip that was shown on the Bill from the Bill Maher show talked about something she said on Politically Correct back in 1999, where she said that when she was younger, she dabbled in witchcraft. She made jokes about it the next time when she was speaking, and people tried to dissect, well, what's this whole deal about, was she really a witch? Did she take part in any of the rituals, or what really happened here? So now there is actually kind of a stir about, well, what's the deal with this whole witchcraft thing in the first place? If you go back and listen to her clip, it sounds like the witchcraft deal was pretty commonplace, where she went to school like, hey, yeah, there were these rituals. And now I've had conversations with a few people in the military who told me in a Navy base that there were people who were allowed to practice witchcraft. And I don't know why, but I was just kind of stunned by that. And they have a ceremony, and that's perfectly allowed, at least on this one base that I know of. Whew. So here we are, and that's what we're trying to find out about, more about witchcraft and cults and all that sort of stuff. So who better to talk to than T.L. Hines, who spent countless hours researching the world of cults and demonic possession and crazy teen girl rituals, like the whole cutting thing you hear about and whatnot. There's even a thing called embedding. And he's written a new book called The Falling Away, and that's what it's about. T.L., thanks for catching up with us here on ATN.
Well, you bet. Thanks for having me on tonight.
So McConnell's comments happen, and now suddenly everybody wants to know, what is the deal with witchcraft, and how can you just dabble in witchcraft? Is it kind of a crazy, nutty thing? Or, as I just said, somebody told me on a Navy base that they're allowed to have services. So there are people that definitely practice it, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's certainly all over the board. And so there are, as you would say, kind of the crazy, nutty element for some people. And for some people, it's very much a serious lifestyle and I think a lifestyle choice. It's interesting you bring that up about the military when, you know, there are, I know people who are in the military who are practicing members of the Church of Satan and Wiccan and other lifestyle systems, belief systems, cults, whatever you would like to call them, you know, however pejorative you get with your terminology, that certainly are practicing within the military. So it was interesting that you brought that up. That was kind of one of the things that I ran across in my research that I thought was interesting as well.
Yeah, I was so surprised by that. Explain to everyone when you say Wiccan, what does Wiccan mean? In general, if I say I'm part of a Wiccan cult, what would that mean?
Well, Wiccan is just kind of a modern pagan religion, and it's kind of the modern incarnation of witches. Most of the people who would practice Wiccan would call themselves witches. And, you know, there's a variety of groups, people who really self-identify as, I would say predominantly it would be Wiccans or Church of Satan, or even people who self-identify as vampires, that are certainly kind of underground lifestyle groups, and people who, you know, really form these collective groups and get together, and the wonders of the internet in that people from various niches can get together and interact. You know, that certainly becomes the case with a lot of these fringe groups and a lot of these, you know, I would say occult-centric kinds of lifestyles. And so those people certainly do gather, certainly under the auspices of the internet more and more often these days.
Do you think that this is on the rise or no? Because now we have other things as far as researching. It's like you said, you mentioned the internet, so there's chat rooms and ways to gather. So maybe we're just seeing it more, but it's always been there. Or do you think there's more people that are searching for something, and some of them are searching through these various things, whether it's Wiccan or some other kind of satanic cult or something else?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I think in the last 2 weeks, as you suggested, there's been a renewed interest in witchcraft since the whole Christine O'Donnell thing came out. But I think there's a variety of factors that maybe influence what's happening. I think that it is on the rise in general, and I think there's a couple factors that influence that. And one, I think, is all romanticizing of the occult and romanticizing of what have traditionally been our monsters. And so in this era when we have Twilight, and I would say, you know, beginning with Anne Rice and Interview with the Vampire, we very much started transforming the idea of a vampire into something very romantic. And so certainly in the area of vampires, that's become something that, you know, is very alluring now. And so I think people are drawn to that sort of lifestyle. And I think, you know, the same kind of thing can be said for witchcraft and a lot of, you know, typically pagan, typically occult pursuits and lifestyles. I think we've very much romanticized that. And I think the other thing is when we just think in the past 2 years or past couple years, certainly being a different environment that we've been in. And I think a lot of people facing anger and frustration and so many things out of their control around them. And I think people are turning to maybe there's, you know, there's something different and people are looking for something different. And I think in some of those cases, people are turning to these kinds of belief systems and finding other people who are dissatisfied with life as it, you know, life as it exists now and finding other people in these groups that have something interesting and different to offer. So there's very much an escapist element to it, I think, on that standpoint.
Yeah, speaking of escapist elements, is this happening a lot with teenage girls? Because that's what she said. She said when she was in school, I mean, hey, you know, I dabbled when I was younger. This is what happened. Didn't you do weird things when you were in high school? And a lot of people are dismissing that and saying, yeah, lots of teenagers do crazy things.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people say, well, yeah, I did weird things in high school, but I didn't really dabble in witchcraft, which I suppose would probably be the answer that most people would give. I think it is something. something that's happening among teenage girls. You know, we talked about Twilight before, and, you know, the primary group for Twilight fans is, of course, teenage girls, and I think it's only natural that that kind of interest in those topic areas spills over among teenage girls, let alone being, you know, a very sensitive time developmentally and growing and maturing and those kinds of things. And so you start to explore and define yourself. And again, going back to the internet and the society we live in, there's a lot of free access to information and resources that weren't out there before. And so I do think we do see a lot of growth among young girls specifically. When we talk about some of the other things, like you talked about embedding and cutting, which I would kind of categorize differently as more disorders, would be more compulsions or outgrowth of OCD, which, again, we start to see very much and very more prevalent and, I think, growing among young girls. So even though I would term them as different kinds of things, they are both something that I think happens a lot among young girls in our society.
And when we talk about the whole witch idea, I'm still kind of stuck on that. How does somebody, you know, to me, if I want to become a witch, and I'm kind of joking here, but it's almost Halloween, I would just go get made up like a witch. So to become an official witch, and you do the research in this, how do you become one, and how do you get out of witchcraft?
Well, certainly to become a witch, or whether you would be, you know, within I talked about Church of Satan, which really Church of Satan, the people who follow our official members of Church of Satan, don't really believe in Satan as most people think of Satan. They just believe that there's no God, no devil, no anything, and they're more intent on self-satisfaction and those kinds of things. So many people who are in Church of Satan would call themselves witches. Many people who are Wiccan who would call themselves witches. I think the Wiccan people would be more of a earth, would be more deity-driven as opposed to the Church of Satan people. But the way people would be able to get into this is certainly through the internet and certainly through friends. You can go to many places on the internet, interact with different people, talk to, you know, there are places set up on the internet where it's ask a witch a question, ask us about the lifestyle, and they do talk very much about the lifestyle. They've put together their own codes of conduct, their own rules. Church of Satan has, you know, actually nine sins that no one will, you know, will do within the Church of Satan and those kinds of things. So I think it's congregating online first primarily. And then these groups will create local, in many cases they'll call them covens, mm-hmm. Church of Satan. At one point they would call them grottos, although those have been phased out somewhat. Local covens where people just get together and interact. And it really is like a social group, a social setting. And becomes a lifestyle choice. And so that is something that people explore as a lifestyle option primarily, I would say.
Last question. We got like a minute left, TL. Do you believe that this hurts her chances? I mean, do you think that it seems like it's being dismissed by a lot of people. Do you think that this even really comes up now?
Well, you know, I not being a political expert or anything, but, you know, in my mind, it hurts her chances. And I guess as much as anything, I say this is kind of the cautionary tale of where we talk about, you know, we tell young kids now to be careful about what they're doing online and to be careful about the tracks they're leaving online. And, you know, if you have the party pics, you shouldn't be posting them online for all the world to see,
right?
10 years later.
Exactly.
And I think this is great evidence of that.
I agree with you 100%. TL, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Pick up his book, The Falling Away. Thanks for joining us on America Tonight. We Can Count next.
This may surprise you. Type 2 diabetes has reached epidemic proportions among both adults and children. You or someone you know may have it. Managing type 2 diabetes in conventional ways is a never-ending task. But this good news may also surprise you. A recent UCLA study proved that type 2 diabetes can be reversed in only 21 days. Purium Health Products recently developed a product that mimics the healthy diet used in that UCLA study. Called Scoop of Greens, an easy, great-tasting, affordable way to give your body the nutrition tools to help it overcome type 2 diabetes. Scoop of Greens has been awarded the Diabetes Resource Center seal of approval, so you know it's safe. See Scoop of Greens and other world-class whole living foods and nutraceuticals at diabetichealthsolution.com. To order, call 888-747-6733. That's 888-747-6733. Mention GCN for a healthy discount and ask about the buy 3 get 1 free special. Start keeping type 2 diabetes in check at diabetichealthsolution.com.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Buy the case or buy the pallet. Sapaco SurePak MREs are the most well-balanced, great-tasting meals ready to eat available at MyersCustomSupply.com. Sapaco SurePak MREs are great for any situation. Come with or without flameless ration heaters, are easy to transport, and easy to store with a 3 to 5 year shelf life. And you can buy just a case or an entire pallet. Either way, Sapaco SurePak MREs are ready to eat hot or cold. Experience superior customer service from the number one Sapaco supplier that's been in business since 1997. When you order your Sapaco SurePak MREs from MyersCustomSupply.com, get fast free shipping and 5% off your total order by using promo code GCN5 at checkout. Call 1-800-451-6105 or visit MyersCustomSupply.com. That's M-E-Y-E-R-S CustomSupply.com or call 800-451-6105. For the lowest prices on the internet, visit MyersCustomSupply.com.
Another edition of We Can Count. This actually is a sad story, but I'm going to put it into this segment because I was so stunned when I heard it. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be anymore because I'm used to these shootings and, gosh, something could have happened. What drives a 19-year-old math major from Austin, Texas, party town, fun place, capital of the world, to decide to open fire with an AK-47 on the University of Texas? What pushes someone to that brink? That whatever's going on in his world is so awful that that's how he's handling it. And the sad deal is he turned the gun on himself. So what happened here, and his name is Colton Tooley. He was a sophomore at UT. He didn't kill anyone, so that's the good news. He didn't kill anyone. He fired all over the place. Nobody has any idea what the motive is. It's the same old story that people are dumbfounded. You ask neighbors. You talk to other kids that went to school with him, and they don't know what pushed him to this. He killed himself in the library. And they're searching through his house, trying to figure out any kind of clues. What could it have been? Did he leave explosives behind? What was the reason for this? And once again, imagine this. Like, let's say your kid goes to this school. It's a giant university, or you go to the university. And now there's a website, and it's posted all over the place that says, if you are off campus, stay away. If you're on campus, lock your doors. Don't leave your building. All organized classes for today are canceled. Now you just assume, well, it must be a crazy gunman. Has to be. It's called lockdown, and it's happening all over the place. So this campus was locked down. And I already said this, but nobody was hit. And that's the best news. Usually when you hear the news that there's somebody with a gun, with an AK-47, on a campus, you're going to be talking about people that were hit, people that were killed, who survived. And so, yeah, there were shots, and he actually shot in people's directions, but he didn't hit anyone. He hit the ground or hit other things. He fired randomly. People could hear this series of bangs, you know, when you hear gunshots and people were running, but nobody was hit. Then he turns and he kills himself. Now, the preliminary findings are that maybe there was something to do with family problems, just maybe. They don't even know for sure. And what's really eerie about this is back in 1966, I know we're going way back in the time machine, there was a famous guy, Charles Whitman, who went on a shooting spree. He killed his wife and his mother. Then he killed 3 people from a tower, then another 10 from the tower's observation deck before police got him. And in that case, it was blamed on drugs and health problems, family problems, legal problems, all kinds of things. And it really sticks in the gut of that university, because you heard how many people were killed. You had 13 people, plus you also have the wife in that case and the mother, so 15, and then he's killed. And that was just a terrible incident. You still see clips of it all over the place when people talk about campus shootings. So this one, not like that, because he missed his targets but ultimately killed himself. But, man, a sad, sad story. Troubling as to what could possibly be in this guy's head that he would do that. And he takes himself out in the end, but scary, I think scary moments for the people on campus. All right, we're talking about polls a ton on ATN, and this fits right into We Can Count, because I'm asked a lot about this. We've got an affiliate in Connecticut, and what's going on with the Republican Senate candidate Linda McMahon, the wrestling queen? How's she doing? And she's starting to chip away at the Democrats' lead in Connecticut. She actually is, I guess, just 3 points behind. So maybe there is something to money can buy you an office, because she certainly has a ton of money behind her, just like Meg Whitman, who's running for governor in California, who's absolutely spending every cent she can. Linda McMahon has 46% right now of the likely voters of who would you vote for the Connecticut Senate race. Richard Blumenthal, the Democrat, 49%. So those are pretty interesting numbers, I think, for this segment, meaning that, you know, there definitely are some renegade candidates, people who weren't political animals their whole life, who are making some noise and are close to possibly getting elected. You have to be cautious, because we don't know, when people go to vote for these 435 House seats and 37 of the 100 Senate seats, what people will actually do once they get in the little cubicle area or the booth or whatever. You don't know for sure. This is likely, and registered voters, and, you know, they may say one thing but then actually surprise you and do another. But there's a reason the polls are close, and usually if you go back and you compare polls to what actually happens, they're pretty right on. How about this story, too, when we talk about things getting out of control? 75 people get into a brawl during an Ohio party for a 3-year-old girl. What's that about? We're having a party, and here's the balloons, and here's the cake, and suddenly we're all at each other's throats? That's what happened in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was at a hall, so, I mean, this was a big deal. She had the little typical princess birthday cake thing, and it was like the one, this is what's crazy, it's the one thing that survived, like that didn't get thrown in people's faces. There were 150 people at the party, and it just got intense. There was all this fighting, I mean, really fist throwing, flying, throwing bottles, chairs, all that sort of stuff, and somehow it was a family feud. That's a heck of a family feud. I can't even imagine somebody in my family trying to throw a chair and hit me over the head with it, let alone in a big public place where you have friends of friends and other people here. So you had glass all over the place, chairs cracked and whatnot, and maybe it was the alcohol. They brought alcohol to this party, but the fight started between the little girl's father and her mother's boyfriend. So there you go. I mean, and these are people that are in their 20s, their mid-20s. 15 people were actually injured in the end. 5 had to be hospitalized. 1 person had to have surgery to their eye because of a cut from a beer bottle. So this was a pretty big melee, a pretty big fight. 75 people involved. They should be ashamed of themselves. I mean, you got to be kidding me. You're going to a little girl's party and you can't contain your emotions enough that you're not throwing chairs. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. All right, finally, let's get to the lighter side of all of this, shall we? I think so. How about The Hobbit facing a possible actor's strike? So I guess it's like kind of light, but not really light. We're talking about the movie industry. And this happens, it's not unusual for this to happen with the unions, but Warner Brothers, New Line, and all the financial players involved in this movie have yet to, that actually have yet to greenlight the movie, but there's a big hurdle as far as the production is concerned. The Screen Actors Guild is urging all the actors to boycott the upcoming production as part of an international effort that's being organized by New Zealand's Actors Equity and its umbrella company. Are you following all these equity groups? The Australian Media, Entertainment, and Arts Alliance. Basically, they're trying to cover the rear ends, trying to get every union they can to support the actors. And Peter Jackson, who's the film's producer and expected director, is furious with the labor groups because he's pumped millions, there's the money part of this, the we can count part, millions of dollars into the economy by locating all of his movies like Lord of the Rings, King Kong, there, and especially state-of-the-art special effects studio is also there. So now he's getting upset. He's thinking, you know what, forget you guys. I'm going to move to Eastern Europe. They probably like the sound of that because then he'll move his money over to Eastern Europe and they get all the big bucks.
Why wouldn't I want to be here? This is fantastic. This is great.